Before he became an award-winning novelist, David Mitchell lived in Japan as a young man teaching English. To write his latest novel, The Thousand Autumns of Jacob de Zoet, Mitchell returned to Japan for 4 years and did historical research in the Netherlands. Book critic Maureen Corrigan says all that legwork paid off.
The critical word on David Mitchell is that he walks on water. Mitchell's first novel, written before he turned 30, was called Ghostwritten. And like his more recent triumph, Cloud Atlas, it's the kind of multi-stranded, intertextual narrative that automatically gets the label experimental slapped on it. Now his latest novel, called The Thousand Autumns of Jacob de Zoet, swerves into the traditional realm of historical fiction. The reader reaction so far has been ecstatic. I think partly because the suspicion lingers that experimental fiction may be too heavy on gimmickry and rather light on story and substance. For a postmodern wunderkind like Mitchell to pull off a straightforward, old-fashioned tale like this one is akin to that perhaps apocryphal story about Michelangelo auditioning before the Pope for the job of painting the Sistine Chapel by drawing a perfect circle, freehand. Far be it from me to give the creatively buoyant Mitchell a dunking in the reviewer's vat of vinegar, though I do have one small brackish water balloon to lob. Overall, The Thousand Autumns of Jacob de Zoet is a beautiful novel, full of life and authenticity, atmosphere, and characters that breathe. It manages to do what the best historical fiction always does, make a reader melancholy, thinking about all those other true life stories from the past that have melted into air. You know right off this is going to be an extraordinary novel because of its setting. The Thousand Autumns of Jacob de Zoet opens in 1799 on an island called Dejima in the harbor of Nagasaki, Japan. As our title hero, Jacob de Zoet, first describes it, the fan-shaped island is man-made, some 200 paces long around its outer curve, and erected, like much of Amsterdam, on sunken piles. Dejima is the province of the Dutch East Indies Company, and its tiny stone bridge over a tidal moat constitutes the sole gateway between samurai-ruled Japan and the outside world. Young Jacob has arrived there to serve 5 years as a bookkeeper, after which he hopes to have amassed enough money to marry the wealthy fiancée waiting for him back in Amsterdam. This island outpost of progress is packed with spies, prostitutes, sailors, slaves, and con men. It's a sliver of the feverish modern world ruled by commerce, wedged up against resolute feudalism. Pious Jacob withstands the usual temptations, but falls hard for a young Japanese woman he meets cute when she runs into his warehouse chasing an ape carrying a severed human leg. I'll skip the explanation. Mitchell revels in, among other things, exuberantly screwball plot twists. Instead, I'll simply say that the woman, Orito Ibagawa, is a midwife whose face was partly disfigured in an accident involving hot oil. She's a wonderful, wry creation, but, and here comes my only criticism of Mitchell's otherwise superb novel, when Miss Ibagawa's adventures take over in book two, the novel mutates into a gothic pastiche, complete with supernatural villain, blood sacrifices, and a labyrinthine prison. Mitchell apparently can do everything when it comes to fiction writing, but he should have resisted this detour into the land of twilight. Fortunately, it's a wrong turn that soon righted. Mitchell's chameleon-like gifts as a novelist are on display everywhere else here, in pages-long drunken conversations over cards, in the delicate negotiations between the Japanese hosts and their Dutch business partners, and in the fabulous action scenes. This is a novel in which we're treated to an earthquake, a typhoon, and a naval battle worthy of Horatio Hornblower. It's the reveries, though, of the exile Jacob de Zoet that make the most indelible impressions. At a decisive moment in the novel, Jacob runs after Miss Ibagawa to tell her he loves her. He's propelled to make this outrageous declaration, we're told, by the inner whisperings of the ghost of future regret. What a wonderful phrase, the ghost of future regret. The same ghost that should be whispering in your ear right now if you have any doubts about reading this strange and singular novel.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed The Thousand Autumns of Jacob de Zoet by David Mitchell.